as Pope Paul VI predicted, once you practice contraception, abortion is the next logical step. And the heretic priest who wrote the document for the bishops has spoken out twice at Detroit at the anniversary celebration of the call to action. Thank God he left the active priesthood. This gift of fortitude must be lived by all of us. Bishops, priests, religious, and the lay faithful. But I repeat, this gift of fortitude is to witness. Witness to the world. Witness to what? Witness to the fact that God became man. Hear it. God became man in order to enable man to live the life that only God can give, the strength and the wisdom to live here on earth. This is what converted the pagan world and the dawn of Christianity. As one lay Christian writer of the early 2nd century wrote, "We Christians keep our lives. We Christians do not kill our children. We Christians pray for our persecutors." Is that kind of virtue made possible by the gift of fortitude that converted a very pagan, hostile, cruel Roman Empire? That's the kind of fortitude we must practice. I never tire repeating, our age is the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the age of martyrs. Then God became man. You would think that the whole world, and mind you, his own chosen people, the Magi, came from the east. They figured, since the newborn King of Israel would be, well, somewhere in Palestine, theologically came to Jerusalem. They looked up to then King of the Jewish people. Guess what? Herod did not even know where the Messiah would be born. For centuries, for the coming of Christ, the Jewish people had departed far, far from the faith of the patriarchs and prophets. As I keep repeating, when Christ came into the world, he had to flee for his life. I cannot tell you how crucial C-R-U-C-I-A-L-L-Y how crucially important it is to know that the world hates Christ and hates Christians. Do we ever need fortitude? I don't say as the gift enables us to enjoy suffering for Christ, even to survive, even to keep our sanity. I know exactly what I am talking about. Would not dare identify either the bishop or the priest, but a priest who is trying to serve God faithfully is being ordered by his bishop to undergo psychiatric therapy. He's got only one problem. He wants to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Now, Big Retreat, Part 3. How are we to cultivate? And notice, it is not a question of acquiring this gift, provided we may assume we are in the seat of grace, we have the gift of fortitude. But we are to cultivate, grow in the possession of this gift. God chooses the weak. Assume that my own natural powers, no matter how naturally intelligent may be, or how strong, stubborn you will may be, they are weak when it comes to living faithfully both our Christian faith, as I keep repeating, and going beyond the precepts, even of the gospel. How to cultivate the gift of fortitude? Keep reminding yourself and keep coming, Lord. Lord, I am weak. That's why God allows us to sin. What a statement. We need sin. What a statement. We need sin to keep reminding us of our weakness. How then to grow in His gift of fortitude? The most powerful source of strength to grow in the gift of fortitude is the Holy Eucharist. And the Holy Eucharist, as I keep repeating, because the present Pope keeps repeating, the Eucharist on three levels. The Eucharist is sacrifice, the Eucharist as communion, and the Eucharist as presence. The Eucharist is sacrifice. Oh, how well I know how our Catholic priests pray for priests. I believe never in the history of Christianity has the devil been so seductively successful in bewitching priests as in our century. Without priests, there could be no sacrifice of the Mass. an assisted mass, have masses offered, and the Holy Eucharist as sacrifice, sacrament, gives us the grace to live lives of self-surrender. How many of you could finish this sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is, and we repeat, the capacity of the human mind to forget is
infinite.
At least don't forget that. I keep repeating, there are four essential words to the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the voluntary, with the will, voluntary, surrender, giving up. What is precious, forth to God. 2,000 years of Christianity have coined that definition. And the sacrifice, sacrament of the Mass, provides us with the strength we need to live lives of sacrifice, to freely, voluntarily, willingly, dare I even say, joyfully, surrender, let go. What is precious? And what's the most precious possession we've got? Is our own self-will. As I've said before, you husbands, before you married, you may have suspected, maybe perhaps women have a stronger will than men. Any husband who does not know that is not living in a real world. This surrender of our wills must be according to the will of God. And God's will is involved. Speak to your husbands. Tell your wives, Mabel, I love you dearly. Jean, I love you. I love you. But I love Jesus Christ more. Am I clear? The gift of fortitude provides us with the courage, the strength we need to do God's will, even at what a price we may have to pay, even to not conforming to the wills of those who may dearly and deeply love. The Eucharist, I repeat, is our principal source of grace to live out His gift of fortitude. Communion. In communion, the living God who became man comes into not just our souls, but our bodies. I never tire telling people, the moment we receive Holy Communion, the same identical Jesus whom Mary conceived in the womb and carried for 9 months in the same Jesus Christ in our bodies when we have received Holy Communion. And believe that. There are books now that we repeat with imprimaturs used in seminaries that undermine that fundamental truth of our faith. Why Holy Communion? That we might give ourselves to others, even as God became man, to give Himself to us. Finally, the Holy Eucharist has presence. How we need to spend, and I beg you to make a resolution to spend some time, if it is possible, every day before the Blessed Sacrament. As I've said on a previous occasion, a bishop friend of mine wrote the feature article for the Priest magazine some time ago. The front cover of the magazine had a picture of two locked doors of a church, chained shut. The greatest, so the bishop wrote, the greatest tragedy in the Catholic Church today is closed churches. Under instructions of the Holy See, we are promoting Eucharistic adoration. And in Chicago, there are now two directories for the Archdiocese of Chicago. One, a list of all the parishes where there is perpetual Eucharistic adoration. Another directory where there is Eucharistic adoration, but not 7 days and seven nights every week. And Cardinal George strongly promotes it, and dare I say, called me up some time ago and said, resist all criticism to the contrary. In the mission statement of the John Paul II Association of Eucharistic Adoration, the mission statement includes Eucharistic education being organized to start this fall, and the center will be, oh no, the Archdiocese of Chicago. I could say more, but I'll save that for the question and answer period. How are we to grow in His gift of fortitude? I keep repeating, but it is because it is so necessary. Pray, ask our Lord to see everything in your lives as coming from Him. In every situation, God is behind us. In every circumstance, God is behind us. In every pain, God is behind us. And please, don't forget the theological definition of pain. Is there a class? I would begin to quiz you. Pain is whatever is contrary to our wills. And fortitude is the gift which enables us not only to endure, but to enjoy. Father, watch your language. to enjoy what we endure. The deepest joy on earth is to suffer for the one we love. And the deepest of this deep joy is to suffer out of love for God. You're talking about how to cultivate this gift of fortitude. Expect difficulties. But another imperative, expect miracles. We need heroic courage. Not only, as I keep saying, to survive, but to thrive on the very difficulties that God, in His wonderful but mysterious providence, puts into our lives. How we need to not just hear, but believe Christ's words. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By carrying your cross. God became man to carry the cross. Do you hear me? And the cross, I keep repeating, for the obvious reason that we keep forgetting. The cross is a verb. God crossing our wills. He knows our wills. He knows exactly how to cross these wills of ours. But provided we have the faith to see God beneath, above, within everything in our lives, then, I repeat, we not only endure and resign ourselves to the cross. We will not just accept the cross. Watch it. We will choose the cross. We will choose that which is more demanding. Another D, more difficult. Not because it's hard. Let's be honest, you're not masochists. We are Christians. But because we thereby show our love for God. Before we finish this retreat, be sure to at least mentally make an inventory of the people who enter your life, from the most pleasant to the most painful. Whom do you like to talk to? That's obvious. Who do you spontaneously, dare I say it, avoid? Lord Jesus, you know the lives far better than we do. And you know that we're going to prove our love for you. We must prefer, no matter how demanding it may be on our wills, prefer what is the most unpleasant. Jesus, what is most unpleasant to us? Because, and if it is pleasing to you, but we need your help constantly. Jesus, my strength. Jesus, my courage. Jesus, my fortitude, help me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.